B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
From the Town Fair Tire Studio in lovely Dorchester, Massachusetts. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Hi, Chris. Hi.
Hello.
You all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go this morning?
I would not admit that is exactly the case, but I am here.
Yeah, me either, but we'll get through it for the next 3 hours. Sports Hub Celtics show at noon. Big win for them last night. Ish. Yeah, I mean, that was a shot there by Jason Tatum. We'll get to that, all of that and the Celtics thoughts coming up in an hour, but I figured we'd open up with the Patriots as we have week one kicking off tomorrow night. Trademark Paul Perillo of Patriots.com doing his usual Wednesday appearance on Felger and Maz.
Ooh.
When he was on the email chain that morning, that's what he said. And this is and part of me thinks that he's right. You know, we're now 8 weeks into this thing. The Patriots 8-0, but calling it week one, considering the competition, and the schedule is what the schedule it is. Schedule is, rather, but I don't know. I do think he's got a point. We get in the game tomorrow night, or are we overhyping this Ravens team and Lamar Jackson and everything that they've done so far?
Yeah, I mean, we might be overhyping them a bit, but I still think they'll provide more resistance than we've seen, and that's not an easy place to play, obviously, M&T Bank Stadium. The one reason I feel like we might be overhyping them, it's not Lamar Jackson. I don't know how good that defense is for the Ravens, you know? I think there's so much focus on the Patriots defense against Lamar Jackson and the number two scoring offense in the league and an offense that averages more than 30 points per game. But on the other side of it, you know, that Ravens defense is 26th in the league against the pass. They don't really get to the quarterback. I know they've added Marcus Peters. They needed to do that. They're supposed to get Jimmy Smith back. So maybe it will look different, but in a weird way, I think everybody's like, oh, this is a referendum on the Patriots defense. I think it's a referendum on the offense. If they don't put up points against these guys, then, you know, sorry, Julian Edelman, that there is reason to be concerned about the offense.
I agree wholeheartedly, and that's the thing. Like, I think the Ravens' defense is being overhyped because people are remembering it from the Terrell Suggs, Ray Lewis, the great job the Ravens' defense has done against the Patriots, even when they've been stacked on the offense. And you know, the last 5-6 years, like, it's not that anymore. If you look at some of these games that they've even won, they're giving up over 300 yards a clip. And the thing you mentioned, they can't get to the quarterback. They played in part to the disappointment that I had overall for the league of the trade deadline. I was pissed the Patriots didn't do anything, especially in terms of adding depth at the offensive line, and we'll get to the concerns that you have about the running game. But that was, they can't get to the quarterback. I figured they at least would be in on someone like Leonard Williams, and he goes to the Giants, which felt dumb for the Giants. Maybe Vic Beasley as the Atlanta Falcons, and that franchise burns to the ground this season. I figured, oh, well, Baltimore would be in on a pass rusher. No, nothing. Granted, like you said, they traded for Marcus Peters, but they didn't do anything. So, I don't know. Like, yeah, I have my concerns about the Patriots offense, and it certainly isn't what it was in recent years. And, you know, Brady continues to be a grumpy Gus, but I don't know. If they can't put up at least 24-ish around there, 27 points, like, okay, then the offense might have bigger problems than we even have realized, because this Ravens defense ain't that good.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I mean, I'm not saying it's, like, horrible. And again, maybe Marcus Peters will change it, but it's not, like you said, it's not Ray Lewis. Terrell Suggs isn't there anymore. They lost Za'Darius Smith. Eric Weddle's not there. Obviously, Earl Thomas is, but they're even sort of banged up in the secondary, which was one of the reasons they went out and got Peters. Like, you know, the linebacker, I would describe, they don't have C.J. Mosley anymore, who went to the Jets. I would describe their linebackers as unremarkable.
Yeah, I would agree on that.
And again, there's not much of a pass rush. I think their front seven, by Ravens standards, is poor, to be honest. You know, by their traditional standards. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what the Patriots can do, and if they can give Brady time, can his pass catchers get open against the back end of that Ravens secondary, which with Earl Thomas, Jimmy Smith coming back, and now Marcus Peters, and obviously Marlon Humphrey, who's been really good this year, is a strength. I mean, you have to say that's like the strength of the defense, which is kind of weird considering they got lit up by Baker Mayfield and Pat Mahomes, but I think that's kind of the strength. So can you have those guys, can you have your three veteran guys or your three rookies that Brady's super excited to play with, obviously, if you listened to yesterday.
Yeah.
Can any of those guys get open? Can they win?
Yeah, and then there's the whole – so the thing where I do respect them is in terms of the coaching, preparation. They're coming off a bye. Their last win that they had, the Ravens, in Seattle against the Seahawks, where Lamar Jackson completely takes over the second half of that game, and I think gets him into the – at least the conversation of MVP. Is he on the level right now of Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, even Russell Wilson? No, but I'll tell you what, like, I think if he goes off tomorrow night and he ends up having a game where he throws for, like, you know, it's, they keep him in the pocket, he didn't really break free, but he does rush for a touchdown, but he throws for, like, say 230 and a couple of scores, well, then he's going to be in the MVP conversation. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. I like him. I just think that his game, you know, it's run first. I just don't know how sustainable that is. They might get to 11 wins, but come playoff time, we've even seen it with Mike Vick back in the early aughts, like when he looked like, you know, the phenom that he was, like, you know, one of the greatest Madden players of all time. He was completely unstoppable. I don't know. That only takes you so far the deeper you get into the season, and as soon as you get into the postseason, like, it seems like someone's got your number, you know? So Lamar Jackson, I don't know. I think I'm not as, like, a scared of this game tomorrow night as a lot of people are, like, looking at it as, like, well, this is going to be the first tough game. I think it's tough because John Harbaugh, because he, you know, I don't think he has ever been afraid of the Patriots. He's had this team's number in the past. He's going to be prepared. They're coming off a bye. That's a tough place to play. All of that. And weird things can happen on a road game, right, in a tough stadium. But the Lamar Jackson thing, Chris, I guess it's a long way of me saying, like, if the Patriots win this game 34-7, like, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, look, you look at John Harbaugh under them, you know, under Harbaugh, the Ravens are 9-2 coming off a bye. So maybe that's a little bit of an X factor.
I start
thinking back to some of these Super Bowls against teams where you're like, well, there's no way they can keep up with the Patriots, the Falcons or the Eagles. And it's like that extra week lets them sort of drill down into some of the stuff that Belichick's able to hide from a personnel standpoint. And maybe that's sort of an equalizer here. I do think Lamar Jackson's probably a better passer than I thought he'd be at this point in his career. But that's really sort of my question. Like, if the Patriots, and they'll come up with some defense, whether it's what the Chargers did or it's, like, using Jonathan Jones as a spy, there'll be something. They'll have, like, you know, remember you had the Jordan rules? They'll have, like, the Jackson rules, yeah, right, to try and contain this guy. And we'll see if he can outrun it. But what they're going to try and make him do is sit in the pocket, decipher a defense, and deliver the ball. And I'm intrigued to see if he can do that, because I think he can do that better than people here think, but I'm not convinced he can do that at a high enough level, drive after drive, play after play, to string together four or five scoring drives against this defense.
You're never a alarmist. That's usually, you know, my department, yeah. Big Jim Murray, you know, thus the nickname that I've been labeled with at times on Twitter. Thank you so much. You're all so kind. And usually it's, you're correct in labeling me that. But I was a little surprised in one of your columns this week in the Boston Globe how you wrote about the Patriots' running game, or lack thereof, and how you think this could be their Achilles heel going forward.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it historically, of all the teams to participate in the Super Bowl, the Patriots' rushing average, if they were to go at 3.23, would be the lowest in league history. And when you look at that, the other factor you have to look at is the lowest right now is the 1970 Baltimore Colts. But they weren't as far below the average for 1970 in the NFL as the Patriots are more than a full yard under the NFL average at this point in terms of rushing average. The league average halfway through the year, or I should say the league average before the Thursday night game, was 4.27, and they're at 3.23. And given what they have at receiver, I just don't know if it's sustainable to rely on the defense to keep generating points and turnovers and field position. So there's never been a team in the history of the league that's been this far below what the league average is in rushing to make the Super Bowl. So they would be making history in a different type of way. I guess it would be sort of ignominious history, but I mean, you'll take it. But I look at that and I feel like this offense, to be successful, to get where they ultimately need to go, like, they got to get this running game going.
Is that starting with the line, or do the backs play into that as well?
I think it starts up front. I do. I think it starts up front. I know they're banged up there, and at some point here, we'll get Isaiah Wynn back. He's eligible to return against the Cowboys. I think that's week 12. So that should help. We'll see if Shaq Mason comes back from the ankle injury. But they're sort of compromised in there. You know, I think Teddy Karras has done the best he can do in terms of, you know, what his physical limitations are as a player. I think he's a smart guy, hard worker, good technique. But he's not as good as David Andrews. He's just not. And losing the two fullbacks, not having Gronk to block, they just have not been as effective running the ball. And I think by hook or by crook, they have to find a way to do, whether it's Damian Harris getting more than mop-up carries, you know, maybe you mothball somebody like Rex Burkhead. I don't know what it is, but you got to find something, because I just don't think, just like I don't think the play of the defense at this level, like at this historic level, like basically the level of we're going to score as many touchdowns as we give up, like that's not sustainable for a 16-game season. I don't think you can rely on that, and I don't think it's sustainable to have this poor run game and ultimately get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the line is the big red flag, and I feel justified now, 8 weeks in, and with each passing week as we keep going along, and everything that I was crowing about in the offseason, that they should have franchised Trent Brown just one more year. I think it would have been the franchise tag for a left tackle, it's like $14 million. But, all right, I don't know, figure out the money on your own time. But franchise Trent Brown, and you bring Isaiah Wynn along slowly again. He's coming off a season-ending injury last year.
Yeah, the Achilles.
And you basically have him as insurance. You get to bring him along slowly, because this Marshall Newhouse, I mean, he was solely responsible for two sacks that Brady took last week in the win over the Browns, and he ends up on the injury report with a shoulder. Now he was off it. But still, you know, he's been getting ragdolled back there lately, and a lot of it's coming from left tackle. Whether it's, and so if it's Newhouse, and even guys at times, Chris, that you can trust, like Shaq Mason, who's been dealing with an injury, or Marcus Cannon on the right, like these guys are just getting pushed around, and they were really one of the biggest reasons that they were able to win the Super Bowl last year when they turned it on late in the season and the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they found their offensive identity. They figured out, like, we can't be like a spread it out passing team, but we can be a really effective running team. I think Devlin, you know, I think maybe some of us, and I'll throw myself in this too, I think maybe underestimated the loss of Devlin at fullback and how that's affected the running game. But when you look at it, they just, I mean, they have to be better. Dante Scarnecchia talked about it this week, and they just have to be better overall. They need more balance in that offense. And I also think it's affecting them when it comes to areas like third down and the red zone, where they are traditionally, you know, very, very good, but this year have been poor, I think, in those areas, or average. Red zone, they're 23rd in the league. They're exactly at 50% in touchdown percentage. And third down conversions, they're 18th. Like, that's not a Patriots offense.
Yeah. But all that being said about the line and how that's the biggest problem, it would have helped if you actually picked the right running back out of Georgia. I do have to say, because that Browns offensive line stinks. It's probably worse than the Patriots.
It is pretty bad.
And Nick Chubb doesn't really need a good line to have the game that he had against you. He's the real deal. They got the wrong back.
You know, I love Sony Michel. Chubb probably is more talented. I'll give you that. But what's the level of coaching? And I'm not saying the coaching here isn't good. It's very good. But the coaching here is geared towards don't generate negative plays no matter what. Like, rule number one, don't get a negative play. Like, we'll take 3.5 yards for it. You can see the way Chubb runs. And he was amazing. He broke a lot of tackles. But he has the leeway to sort of create and try and make a big play and do that. The Patriots don't really do that with their running backs. So that would sort of take me back to, look, I love Sony Michel, but if you're going to coach it that way, then you should probably never draft a running back in the first round, because it's a waste. And that's why, like, the Ben Jarvis Green Ellises of the world do well here, because they literally can't move side to side. All they can do is go straight ahead, which is what the Patriots teach and coach and want.
Yeah, the old Antoine Smith.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why those guys do great for them, because it's like, just run straight ahead. North-South, kid.
Talent. We'll suck that right out of you. All right, your thoughts. Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow night. Is this their first real test? Is it week one, like Paul Perillo of Patriots.com called it on Felgren Mass earlier this week? Your thoughts on this game? Any concerns? 617-779-0985. Want to take a deeper look into Lamar Jackson, too, because I believe this. If he does go off tomorrow night, get ready for it. At least on a national scale, they're going to talk about this kid as a legitimate MVP candidate.
They'll talk about him like he's Jimmy G.
Yeah, we'll get to him, too, coming up later in the hour. Most overrated performance on Thursday night. Yeah, he looked good, good, but for one night, okay. All right, we'll get to all that coming up here. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jackson over the middle, caught by Hollywood Brown. See you later, Hollywood, to the house.
First down, shotgun. Jackson out of the pocket. Jackson trying to run for it. Jackson avoids, spins, he's in, touchdown.
Yeah, I've seen him play a few times this year too. And, you know, just exceptionally talented, speed, quickness. He's throwing the ball well. Just has great awareness in the pocket, when to run. I think his productivity is you know, really been unmatched. So he's got a very unique skill set. It's very difficult to simulate, you know, a level of that type of player with that level of talent. And, you know, our defense is going to be a big challenge for all of us.
Some of the highlights right, Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson, and then Patriots quarterback Tom Brady talking about him at his press conference yesterday. He's interesting. He's fun to watch. I mean, he completely took over that last win that they had, last game that they played in Seattle against the Seahawks, a game I really didn't give him a chance, Baltimore going in there and winning. But they did. Again, Jackson takes over that second half. You didn't watch it. It was the 4 o'clock game of the week that Sunday a few weeks back. And, okay, he didn't throw for much. He typically doesn't. I mean, he went off week one against Miami, but who doesn't? He rushed for a 152 in week six. Can he run against this team? And even if he does that and only throws for about 100 yards and just throws one touchdown, is that enough for the Ravens to win? Looking here, no quarterback to rush for 100 yards in a game against the Patriots in the Bill Belichick era since 2000, including playoffs. So can he break that streak? And even if he doesn't, because I don't think he will, that's going to be the game plan, right? And I do think the Patriots, especially with the linebackers and the safeties that they have, and I do think the defense is legit, they'll be able to keep him in the pocket and try to force him to throw. But I'll tell you, and I do believe this, Chris, if he does throw for like 230 and a couple of touchdowns and only rushes for one, or maybe only rushes for like 40 yards, I think the Ravens win this game. And then Monday morning, get ready for it. National talk, Lamar Jackson, the legitimate MVP candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, especially against this Patriots defense and what they've done and how it's gone. I mean, that would be impressive. I mean, honestly, if he scores more than 17 points and it's a game, I think you might sort of get some of that talk. And I feel like what helps Lamar Jackson is that he has Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. And Greg Roman was the guy who was the offensive coordinator for Colin Kaepernick,
right,
with the 49ers. Remember when the 49ers came in here and put up, 40-plus points? He was the offensive coordinator for Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. He's very good at being creative in the run game and creating opportunities for his quarterback to run, but also sort of creating simplified areas of passing for the quarterback as well, where it's not as hard for the quarterback to read. Like, they'll create stuff that makes the read simple and the throws easier. So I think that's sort of an interesting chess match there. Greg Roman, who's had some success and some experience against the Patriots, versus the Patriots defense. And then I just also sort of wonder, Jim, at the end of the day, we can analyze this all we want, but is this just one of those schoolyard things where this guy's faster than everybody else out there? Other than maybe Jonathan Jones, and that's what I'm intrigued to see. Do they use a Jonathan Jones or someone who can really run to spy on him?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they might have to, considering his speed, because his speed is next level. It's like early 2000s,
yeah.
Mike Vick.
I mean, someone brought up a good point. I can't remember who it was this week that was like, look, the Seahawks had Bobby Wagner, who's probably a Hall of Fame linebacker, trying to chase him down. I mean, Bobby Wagner can really run. He can really run.
He might
run.
Be one of the best, if not the best, linebackers in the game.
Yeah, he can really run, and Jackson made him look foolish.
Yeah.
So I'm not sold that Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy are going to be running down Lamar Jackson.
He's thrown the ball better, and this is really only based on watching red zone stuff and highlights, so it's not like I'm watching every snap or Ravens game.
It's a Jimmy G evaluation.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I did watch that last game against Seattle wire to wire, and it does feel to me when he does throw, the ball's better than it was last year.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more touch on it than last year. Couldn't have gotten any worse. But that said, it feels to me he locks in on Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, and he doesn't really look, is it Hayden Hurst, the tight ends? It looks like he's locking in on guys. And that obviously plays to the benefit of the Patriots.
Definitely. I mean, I would say, and I haven't watched a ton of his games, but I would say at this point, he's a two-read guy at most. He's going through the progressions. It's like, okay, the first thing's not there. All right, second thing, I'm out of here. I'm running. Yeah, I'm taking off. So, yeah, it's not like he's a guy that's going to go through the reads and the progressions and come back and get to the fourth option and hit some guy on the backside. That's not his game right now. So he's going to – if the first two things aren't there, he's going to try and bail out the back door.
Let's go to Frank the Tank. You're first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning. Hey, Frank.
Lee Rocco, what's going on?
What's up?
Look, real quick, before I get to the Pats running back, real quick on Michael Vick and Jack, I always thought when I was a lot young, I always thought that Michael Vick had the chance to be the absolute most dynamic quarterback that the NFL had ever seen. But, the problem with guys like that is, it's always going to be the same thing. It's not touch football. It's tackle football. And if you don't put your ego in check and learn how to throw the ball and run an offense without your legs, you're not going to survive as a quarterback like that. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but, guys like that just 9 times out of 10 are always getting hurt. So it really sucks. I really wanted Michael Vick to just change the game. But, unfortunately, injuries happen when you're a running quarterback like that. Same with Steve Young. He had all the concussion problems.
Right.
So, but anyway, with the Pats, you know, with the running game, I'm not a huge 16-0 perfect season guy. I could care less about that. All I care about is winning the Super Bowl and sending the rest of the league to their destruction. But if I'm the Patriots, like, I don't understand why, you know, his name escapes me now, the third-round pick there, the running back, Murray, you're always talking
Damian
about
Harris.
Him.
Damian Harris.
Him, yeah, like, he hasn't seen the field this much. You know, you talk about Chubbs, how, you know, the Cleveland offensive line sucks, and he's still having a productive season. I don't think that Sony Michel sucks and blows, but I do think he's missing something. So to me, like, I want to know, when is this Harris kid going to get a chance to come into the lineup and maybe see what he can do at running back? Because Burkhead seems to do all right. He knows how to shift and get through the hole. So I'm curious about that. What you, like, when is this guy going to see the field on a regular basis?
Thanks for the call, Frank. I'm convinced it has something to do with what you said weeks ago about this when I was bitching about it, Chris. It's that maybe he's just not that good of a blocker. They're worried about an Ole, and, you know, as bad as the offensive line has been at times anyway, they're even more worried this kid can't chip block or whatever, and Brady's just going to get lit up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but that's the thing that I look at that would be the factor in him not playing at this point. It's just the lack of experience. And there was, you know, when he got in, it was against the Jets, right? He got in.
And he had a good run.
He did. Yeah. But I remember there was one play where it was, like, pretty clear that Brady was, like, and I think I even texted you. I'm like, oh, look at this. Like, Brady's, like, talking to him, basically telling him, like, this is who you have.
Yeah.
Like, block this guy. You know, and so it's like one of those things where I have to believe that they just feel like they have better options in terms of pass protection there. And like like we've talked about, they don't want to get Brady hurt. But at some point you have to look at it and say, okay, you look, even if we're as predictable as we've been in the past, remember when LeGarrette Blount was here? It was like LeGarrette Blount in game, Patriots running football. Like, you know, you or at least you knew they weren't going to throw to the back out of the backfield. Even if they have to go back to that, so be it at this point. Just you got to get a little more juice out of the running game.
We'll continue to take your calls on Patriots Ravens. You want to give us your concerns, your thoughts about tomorrow night's game, 617-779-0985. Dante Scarnecchia, the genius behind the Patriots offensive line, or usually has been, had some interesting comments about the offensive line, something that Chris and I are concerned about. We'll get to that coming up after the Sports Up.
First place teams on Sunday Night Football on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The 8-0 Patriots travel to Baltimore to play the 5-2 Ravens. Our pregame coverage live from Howl at the Moon at Patriot Place starts at 5:30. Bertrand and Gasper. Kickoff from Baltimore with Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak is at 8:20 on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. Tom Brady and your Pats, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. This should be a good one on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Garoppolo right now in this game has done a good job getting out of pressure.
Third down and 6-7. Garoppolo throws end zone for Bourne, and Kendrick Bourne will roll over and make the catch. Touchdown, San Francisco. What a catch by Kendrick Bourne.
That throw, even getting tipped, the high velocity, perfect.
Garoppolo under center, got a quick snap, a play action, throws out. Caught by Emmanuel Sanders! Touchdown! San Francisco!
Unbelievable. Emmanuel Sanders has quickly become the number one weapon for the 49ers in the passing game for the wide receivers. Another terrific throw from Garoppolo. And Jimmy just throws an absolute strike.
Garoppolo looking for Sanders. They take it away. He lobs one down the sideline of the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown by Dante Pettis. Touchdown, San Francisco.
And it's on Patrick Peterson, who ends up covering Dante Pettis on the corner route. What can you say about Jim Garoppolo again? Are you kidding me? They throw a blitz pressure right in his face. That's going to make it one-on-one. Patrick Peterson busted. Jimmy Garoppolo saw it right away and just dropped a dime right to Dante Pettis. Isn't it like real close to the two-year anniversary for Jimmy Garoppolo in a 49er uniform?
I think it was today. Yesterday they made the trade.
Happy anniversary, JG!
All right. Montage of the four-touchdown night for Jim Garoppolo on Thursday night as the Niners defeat the Arizona Cardinals, only by 3 points, 28-25. That was put together by Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of Felger and Maz. You heard that probably, 32 times yesterday as Felger and Maz transformed themselves into your home for Bay Area sports. They couldn't shut up about Jimmy Garoppolo.
What a bunch of honks.
Oh, my God.
People, if you're listening, if they ever get on you for being excited or partial to your team, give it back to them with this Jimmy Garoppolo. I was dying. I had to text Jim the other day, like yesterday, when Felger dismissively was like, we don't do like favorite athletes, while they were replaying the Jimmy Garoppolo post-game speech and clapping, and Maz is waving a 49ers. Is that a uniform?
It's the Garoppolo jersey, and he bought himself a 49ers hat.
Yeah. Do favorite players on your own time, unless it's 2-6 and it's Jimmy G. Then it's 4 hours of your favorite player.
Yeah, so Garoppolo has his Al Bundy moment. 4 touchdowns, 317 yards, no picks, .136.9 for QB rating. And to his credit, the 3 of the 4 scores on third down, another on fourth down. Like, he was nails when he needed it.
Really,
the money was on the table. You're also playing the Arizona Cardinals, who everyone else has lit up. And Patrick Peterson is certainly just not what he used to be pre-PED bust.
Yeah.
He's just coming back his last couple of games. He doesn't look like the same guy.
The corpse of Patrick Peterson at corner was easy to get over on.
So did he have a great night? Yes.
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 Can he play? Yes.
I guess.
He can play.
Yeah.
But he can play.
And I, because I'm firm but fair, Chris, I will no longer call him the Italian Osweiler. That is now unfair because he's been able to sustain this a little bit.
He's been retired.
Yes. So now he's the Italian Goff. And even that might be a bit much because, Jared Goff actually got to the Super Bowl.
He did, yeah. It's a good question. I mean, Jimmy is kind of like the third best quarterback in his own division.
That is true. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So,
Murray's coming up fast.
Yeah, I don't know if I would put Goff ahead of him, though. Well, either way,
you just said he went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. It's a coin flip, though. Goff's definitely more stupid.
Let me help you out here, because I think your Italian Goff is pretty good, right? Both guys, sort of pretty boys, right?
True.
Goff looks like Bizarro Ryan Gosling, right? Both kind of pretty boys. Both little empty-headed, right? Mm-hmm. Little vapid. Both creations of their offensive-minded coaches.
Perfect.
I think you're on the money.
All right, that's what it is. He's the Italian Goff. Great night for him. But let's see it actually sustain the rest of the season, because he has mostly been a sidecar this year. It's more about their defense. It is. It's more about their running backs, and it's more about Kyle Shanahan and his scheme. It is.
Totally.
If you've been watching, it is. All that being said, great night for him, and a lot of it had to do with the connection he already has with Emmanuel Sanders. And this was my biggest takeaway, legitimately, from that game. Okay, great night for the quarterback. But Emmanuel Sanders looked like a complete difference maker. It looks like he and Garoppolo have, like, the mind meld already going on, like Brady has had with some of the best receivers he's worked with, like Brady, Deion Branch back in the day. I just hope the Patriots got this one right. I mean, look, Mohamed Sanu, I like it. I think it was the deal that they should have made, and I understand it. He's got longer term in his deal. Sanders, he's older, supposedly has a knee injury. This is it. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. But boy, did he look good.
Oh, I mean, he looked like a number one receiver is what he looked like. And it's funny you mentioned Deion Branch, because I've always thought that Emmanuel Sanders was sort of a more explosive Deion Branch.
Yeah.
And when you look at that and you look at the connection he had with Garoppolo, and I get it's a different offense. Obviously, it's a different offense. But I just look at it and I'm like, man, how quickly would he have picked up this offense?
Right.
How would it have gone? And I love the player so much. I mean, it's like somebody hands you like a free car, right? And you can choose between like a Tesla, right? And like a McLaren. And you're like, what do I choose? I'll take the Tesla. And you're like, oh man, that McLaren is amazing.
Yeah.
Or you pick the McLaren. And you're like, oh, that Tesla's great. It's like, it's a tough choice. They're both really good. But it might end up that one ends up being a better fit than the other.
So that was it. And I thought the Niners' defense got a little bit exposed. They seem somewhat undersized. I mean, their pass rush is legit. But
definitely.
They lose Kwon Alexander, who was great with Tampa Bay. But the linebacker there, like, he's out for the rest of the season. That's a bit of a hit.
They're thin there, too, other than Warner, now that Kwon Alexander's out.
Yeah, and I don't know. Their secondary seems a little bit slow. Like, they have Richard Sherman, but he's also a bit of a shell of himself, kind of just like how Patrick Peterson is. Like, I don't know. Maybe I feel – that was the other thing. Like, coming out of that game, like, did I overrate this Niners defense? Because they're good, but I had them on the level of the Patriots. Like, what you've seen is legit, so maybe it was just a little bit better competition. They got exposed a little bit. Maybe that's what happens to the Pats tomorrow night.
Maybe I think Cliff Kingsbury, Coach Handsome, I think
he's a dummy.
Had a pretty good game plan. I mean, he's one of those guys. I mean, he's like the Kubiak type of guy where it's like, here's a guy who has zero game management skills, but is actually a really good offensive mind. Like, he is destined to be an offensive coordinator, and don't get me started on how he messed up the game management. Like, I thought he actually gifted that game to the 49ers, especially if you look at the touchdown at the end of the half when he called the ill-advised timeout, the basketball timeout. But I thought they had a pretty good game plan, and they, you know, they got the Andy Isabella, you know, shout out to UMass, had that touchdown at the end, which obviously made it a little bit of a closer game. But I still think the 49ers defense is really good, or was really good, but this Quan Alexander loss, like, I don't know if you've seen the numbers Pro Football Focus had, but his numbers and coverage have been, like, insane. So that's really good. Can I just make a quick comment here about Jimmy G? Because I thought Adam Jones had amazing numbers last night and how people have lit up the Cardinals, and I don't have those numbers. I'm not going to regurgitate them, but I just want to say this. The highest-rated quarterback in the NFL right now is Russell Wilson, 115.5. Opposing passers this year against the Arizona Cardinals have a quarterback rating of 118.3. They've thrown 22 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. They've completed 71.7% of their passes. So really, if Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play like this on Thursday, that would mean he couldn't play, period.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I heard some of those stats that Jones was saying last night, too. It was making me very happy on my ride home. Yeah, really, you're a straight-up bum if you can't,
yeah, if you can't light up these Arizona Cardinals.
All that being said, and I know, you know, we're being maybe a little too harsh for some of you on Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't think so. I will give him credit in one area.
Yeah.
Shooter, shoot.
8-0. How does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween right back at you. Thanks so much.
Definitely. No problem.
Oh, he got a little giggle. I didn't know he got a little giggle out of
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there was a little tingle there for Aaron Andrews. Yeah, at the end of the game, if you didn't see this thing, again, can I hear that one more time?
8-0. How does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween right back at you. Thanks so much.
Definitely. No problem.
Someone blushed.
But you know what the best part was? Jimmy doing the look back. Looking back at her, and then so he like literally bumped into some player trying to congratulate him. Like he was doing, I think he did the look back and the, like, little like the gun,
double
the,
guns.
Like, yeah, the double guns. Like, hey, you know, like, hey, baby.
He's definitely,
he has a type, huh?
He's definitely got a type. If you remember going back a few years ago when it was like the fake controversy du jour, where he was with the adult film star who was a bit older. He likes him a little bit older because he's 27. Aaron Andrews, 41. Not that that's old, but you know there is an age gap there. So he's got a. A woman of a certain type. Isn't she married to a hockey player?
She is, yeah. Yeah, and she lives out in L.A. now. So, yeah. Jimmy better be careful. Those hockey players are tough. But, yeah, why not? I mean, you know.
Jimmy G gives no F's. He sees what he wants, and he goes for it.
Like you said, shoot or shoot. Yeah. I think that was more impressive than anything you did on the field.
Yeah, me too. Especially in today's culture where, for a minute there, I was like, oh, they're going to try to cancel Jimmy G. Like, oh, how sexist. How dare you call
but
her baby.
He did, by the way, he did not call her baby. He was just saying, like, sort of like, feels good, baby. Like, not like.
No, it's like Sarge. Like, when he's like, it's all good, baby.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That's, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was really good. That was a really good Sarge.
That's what he was trying to do.
But he was not referring to her as baby. In fact, I saw that immediately and I watched it live and I'm like, no, no, no. Like, if that had been like, you know, I don't know, somebody, if that had been like Steve Young who would ask that question, he still would have said, feels good, baby.
Exactly.
Like, that's what he's saying.
It doesn't matter the sex. It could have been, he could have been talking to a tree. He would have said, it's all good, baby.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No. No, if he called her toots or doll, all right, then it might be a bigger problem.
Or baby face.
I was surprised, though. In today's stupid cancel culture that we just people just waiting to ruin you at any moment, I was like, oh, this is going to be a thing. I felt that night. I'm like, they're going to try to ruin Jimmy G. Thankfully, that didn't happen. It didn't take off. But credit to him, though.
Well, he can ask Richard Sherman, his teammate, about what happens if you get overly animated in an interview with Aaron Andrews and how that can devolve quickly.
All right, moving on from football now, we have to get to the Sports Hub Celtics show. Nice last-second win for the Seas over the Knicks. Game shouldn't have been that close, but still, we'll get to that coming up after the Sports Hub headlines here with Sean Silver. We'll tip off the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.